Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 30th. The month of April, it has now gone almost.
That's right.
Joining us, Simple Country Therapist, with a very proud microphone this morning, Lou Quimby. Good morning, sir.
Gracious good morning to you.
You are coming in loud and clear, and I know there are going to be lots of folks happy about that one. Are you ready for our little trivia question in the morning?
You betcha.
All right. Why do golfers shout four before they tee off?
They can't spell up to five.
Okay. That one, not even close, but it was humorous nonetheless. Four originally meant get out of the way or you'll be shot. It is an old military term once used to warn the front row of riflemen to kneel down so that the second row could fire over their heads.
Oh.
The term was originally beware before, then it became before, and finally shortened just to four.
Uh-huh.
I suppose that's the same, too, if you are standing in front of the golf tee.
If you're shooting over the head of your fellow contestants, they should kneel down.
Yeah, I would say duck, but that's okay, and everybody would look around for the look for the feathers. Yeah. Got a question that's just kind of been percolating my head for a while, and it seems like it's been bearing fruit to this point.
Indeed.
When we had daylight savings time come back,
yeah.
A month or so ago, it was almost as if you could walk down the street and everybody's attitude suddenly was upbeat. And, you know, the weather didn't really change that much from the week before, but sunlight did.
Maybe it's that extra hour of sunlight, more vitamin D.
Yeah, that certainly could be. But, you know, isn't there a condition where if people don't get enough sunlight that they kind of go into a depression of sorts?
SAD.
Okay.
It's called SAD.
Yeah, what is it?
I've forgotten what the acronym stands for, but it means they're not getting enough sunlight, and so they sell lamps that burn at the frequency of the sun, and you can put yourself in a desk or go to work and turn the lamp on for a couple hours a day. Antarctic, Arctic, northern Canada, Greenland, that sort of thing. Oh, SAD, seasonal affective disorder. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And it's lack of sunlight, mostly for above the high latitudes. So people can sit with a lamp burning and they get more sunlight, as it were.
I wonder, the folks that are like in the Antarctic doing the research, if they suffer, I mean, you know, weeks on end of no sunlight, I would think that would be something that they would... that would be almost standard issued. I've not seen anything along those lines, though. Is that?
That's an interesting idea. I haven't either. I don't know how the expeditionary or the scientific forces use. They may use SAD lamps as well, because they certainly do the trick.
Right. Well, and how? What is that cadence or that cycle that gets off if you don't? You know, like when folks who work at daytime sleep at night, when they get their shift changed, and all of a sudden now they're trying to sleep at daytime and I have to go to work at nighttime. Something
circadian rhythm.
Yeah. Is there an influence or a factor with that, along with some mental disturbance or adjustments?
Well, they've been through a summer with almost constant sunlight, so I don't know what effect that would have when they come into winter and they get very little or none.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
Huh. Well, apparently we got questions we don't have answers so far this morning. Let me try another one for you.
If you got a psychobiologist in your armamentarium of talkers there, somebody from HSU.
That might be something, yeah. I kind of...
Psychobiologist.
I've run dry on that one.
Oh, okay.
You're as close as we get. How's that for frightening?
Or a neurologist.
Okay.
You got a neurologist in your bank of people?
No, I don't even have a doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's been years since we had Adele with us, and then there were a couple of others that followed. But it's it's been some time since we've had on a regular basis a healthcare practitioner.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I'll have to go looking for one.
Yeah.
Or
maybe somebody will hear this and they'll find you.
Perhaps.
That would be good.
But only if I don't duck around the corner just in time. I had a little bit of a earlier this week when they announced that Michael Collins had died. You know, one of the Apollo 11 astronauts.
Yeah,
that kind of struck me. And the thing that really kind of was impressive for me about him was how normal he was, even though he was extraordinarily intelligent. You know, there are not too many of the astronauts that are dummies. You know, even though they may be a little wild in their off hours, these guys and gals are really smart and dialed in. How
they don't make it otherwise.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, with some of our buddies that have died lately and hearing some of the conditions that people are in, how do people who are intelligent to that level deal with normalcy? Routineness.
It depends on what the normalcy is. If they get in a car crash and they're paralyzed from the waist down, then they have to work from the waist up. If they're one of those people and they get an early onset Parkinson's, they're in trouble. If they get early onset dementia, they're in trouble, because their skill and capacity is based on all five of their functions working properly, you know, physical, emotional, intellectual, social, and spiritual. And if one of those is significantly diminished, then their job description really changes.
Certainly, yeah. And dealing with that change.
And that's same for ordinary people, too.
That's where I was going to. Any significant change, either a physical one, a mental one, religious one, even, or geographic.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different changes that we have, we've seen some of our buddies deal with that are more challenging than others, just for whatever reason.
Correct, yeah.
Maybe when we come back, we can talk about dealing with change. We'll do that. Well, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou,
do you have any more trivia questions?
I got a book full, but you're going to have to come here to be able to read them. We can't do one forever and ever here.
I want to get my legs under me.
There you go. We're going to burn through the book too fast otherwise. The concept of dealing with change. Some people I know are change embracers. Some of us are change avoiders, and some of us are a combination thereof. For some of these folks that are extraordinarily talented in the fields that they're in, is it more difficult for them to deal with change than it is the regular guy or gal?
Well, a lot of that depends on attitude. As we grow up from children to adults to middle adults, we're dealing with change all the time. Change in our physical growth for young kids, adolescents, young men, young women. And then comes change in social circumstances, which involves politics often, or religion. So some people look at what they have ahead of them and make some predictions about change, what's going to happen, how it could happen, or how it did happen, and then they're faced with the question, what am I going to do about this? Do I go along with the change? Do I push the change? Do I fight the change? Or do I change my lifestyle to something else that avoids these conflicts?
I would think changing the lifestyle would be one of the most difficult.
It is difficult, yeah. You're involved in a bankruptcy, for example, and you're used to having money, and all of a sudden you're living in a three-room apartment. That can be very difficult.
I was also thinking of geographic change. Also, yeah. Let's say you.
Let's say move to Minnesota.
Yeah. Well. I was thinking, some of these folks, and let's say they're in Hawaii or they're in a tropical climate, and then all of a sudden, now they're going to they've been reassigned either to Canada, Minnesota, Chile. I mean, places like that that are completely different. That's a significant change.
That happens in the FBI when special agents are reassigned to a totally different geographic area. For example, if they've been working in Reno and they get reassigned to Minnesota, now they got to get winter clothes and a snowblower and chains for their car, and they have to learn how to drive a car in the snow too, which is a whole different change.
Well, I was thinking if the traditions also change. Just how you do things, the acclimation, the physical acclimation as well as the mental acclimation. Are there ways to speed that up once you're in that kind of a situation that, this is kind of sprung on you, so you couldn't really anticipate it, couldn't really plan for it, you really couldn't do a lot of lead up to it, and then, Lou, we need you to report to blah, 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 blah next Friday.
Here's your plane ticket.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you there.
Well, once I get there, I'm going to start talking to people who've been there for a while to find out how they made the adjustment and what they did to make it comfortable and productive. Because people that have been there have done the hard work of adjustment already, and I don't have to reinvent the wheel. So talking to other people about what they've done is an important asset to have. Being able to talk to other people, listen to what they've done, what they had to adjust to, and how they did it, and what they had to give up. Because if you make that kind of adjustment, there are things you have to give up and things you have to acquire. Weather skills, for example, as mentioned, Minnesota.
Is that asking? Reaching out, something that is difficult for some folks?
Oh, Lord, yes. A lot of people like to think that they're independent to a fault. And they can figure everything out on their own. That's called reinventing the wheel all over again without taking the benefit of other people's age, experience, longevity, what they've learned, how they learned it.
So is
it's
that
interesting listening to other people on how they've solved problems, because you don't have to meet every problem as a novice. If you're prepared with other people's experience, then you have ways of solving the problem without having to agonize over what to do about it.
We do that in the hardware stores and the lumber yards and places like that, where we're asking folks, how do you do this or do that? It's interesting that doesn't transfer over into other areas for that willingness to ask.
And it should, yeah. Huh. If you go into a hardware store, you're really often going into a situation where you don't know what you're doing, which is why you're there. I need some nuts and bolts. What size? I don't know. What are you building? I'm building a Adirondack lawn chair. Well, then you need some 3-inch carriage bolts. Oh, okay. Give me some of those.
Yeah, but that's a scenario. It's comfortable.
because it's mechanical.
Ah, I see. You don't have any buy-in, so to speak.
Yeah, right. It's just simple problem solving that's mechanical. But if you're transferred from Reno to Minnesota, there's lots of things that are not mechanical. Attitude adjustment is one of them.
We'll talk about adjusting attitudes when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets.
Redeck, good people.
Yes, they are. Baywood Golf and Country Club, Humboldt Bay Bistro, and Randall Sand and Gravel. Lou, looking at adjusting attitudes, or perhaps attitude adaptability. That's the word. Okay. Got to get all those syllables in there. How difficult is it for somebody to alter attitude?
The first A is accept. If you've been transferred from Reno to Minnesota, you can't fight the transfer unless your job is at stake. Sometimes it is. And if you accept it, then you go, okay, I'm going into this new situation. What do I need to know about it? And you think about snow tires, which means you have to change tires once a season, which means you got to buy new tires or put chains on all the time. So if you accept that, then you have to do the problem solving that acceptance generates.
So
that means adjusting, adapting, accommodating. So that's the important part of asking other people how they've done it, so that when you get past the acceptance part, and you go into the adjust and adapt part, you're not stuck because you got a database from other people about how they've done it.
Right, yeah. Figuring out that, you know, when you're supposed to be planting plants and there's permafrost,
yeah.
It's not going to serve you well, yeah.
Also, you have to go to bed earlier and get up earlier, too, if you got a lot of snow ground to cover before on your way to work. Then you have to learn how to drive in the snow and the ice.
Yeah, well, and just say even something simple like de-icing.
Yeah.
I say simple because I've rarely had to do that.
And you go home at night and you forget to put a blanket over the windshield. And,
yeah.
And then you've added an extra 15 minutes of getting the car ready to go to work. So these things are all solvable, particularly if you know they're coming.
Right.
The value of asking questions of people, how they've done it, how it worked for them.
So the adjusting and the accommodation, the acceptance, okay, that makes sense. I just was thinking we're focusing on going from temperate to challenging weather.
Yeah.
What about the folks coming the other way? You know, they're used to, okay, wintertime means 50 degrees below. Winter means... You know, a chill in the air is not 43 degrees. A chill in the air is minus 43 degrees.
Do I pack my snow tires or do I sell them before I move to Reno?
Exactly. Go in the other direction and having some of those annual markers of seasons changing. Or let's say it's even more dramatic going from, Minnesota to San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay, you go from four seasons to one.
That's pretty much true.
Really, really quick, and the cultural differences are significant also.
Right, if you go from a small town in Minnesota to San Diego, there's a lot of changes to be made. driving habits for one, living in a neighborhood for another.
Just all those various elements. I mean, we could all tick off a pretty impressively long list, I'm sure. Same principles, though, apply?
Sure. Some people are used to living in a small town where they never have to lock their doors. That's almost going out of style, but not quite. So if you move to a city or a suburban area and you don't lock your doors, you're just asking for trouble. Park your car in the street and leave the keys in it. Whoops.
Yeah, or leave the truck running. We heard a story about that one earlier this week, too.
Yeah. Somebody
got inside and drove off with the truck.
Right.
It's like, okay.
I just went into the shop and stopped for a minute to get some. Remember the old expression from Ron White, you can't fix stupid.
Right. I suppose that the challenge is it stupid or is it ignorant? Big difference, obviously.
Well, ignorance is lack of knowledge.
Yes.
And if people come from a small town where you never have to lock your doors, and they're going to the big city, and they know nothing about living in a big city, they're not prepared. They got Google these days, and YouTube, and there's all kinds of things. Take driving, for example, about road rage. If you look at the examples on YouTube about road rage, it's about either half of people with a sense of entitlement or else stupidity. Cutting in and out, being in a hurry. I used to be in a hurry, and then I sat down and figured it out, and it would save me about 2.5 minutes. Now, if I get in an accident, now that goes to 2.5 hours.
Or longer. Yeah.
Or longer. Not just at the accident site, let alone the court and the rest of it.
Yeah.
Care bills. So people's attitude about what they're entitled to means that everybody else is supposed to bend to their will is a real problem when it comes to road rage, for example.
I would suspect that one of the little tricks for some of these folks that move on a regular basis is to be able to separate the logical from the emotional. And just, I think, you know, some of these kids that play
That's
sports
right.
and they're traded a lot, or military, and they move a lot. Yeah, obviously, they've come to grips with something that a lot of us haven't, and we'll kick around some of those options when we come back. It's 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, what are some of the tricks that the military and other folks that are dealing with change on a regular basis? I mean, even if it's just where they're assigned, not a battle assignment, but just where they are. Where the family is moving to. You know, they may move 4 or 5 or 6 times during the children's lifetime if somebody's a career military. How do you get to the point where that just kind of becomes the routineness, and what lessons are there for us?
Well, the first one is acceptance, but in the military, you have to recognize that there are requirements for discipline to authority and hierarchical power structure. And if you got an 18, 19, 20-year-old millennial who goes, "Don't tell me what to do," now there's big trouble. Think about what would happen if Biden introduced national service requirement. Young men and women have to spend 2 years in national service. They can do it in the military. They can do it in the Peace Corps. Think about what would happen there.
I would suspect that the Peace Corps probably would become far more popular than what it is today.
Probably.
Or AmeriCorps, or, you know, whatever version thereof.
Wouldn't that be a really a big slap in the face of cold water if a young man had to spend 2 years in the military for national service.
And yet in Israel, that is.
It is indeed.
And not seen as a big, it's almost like it's a rite of passage, I understand.
Correct.
So that,
they go from high school to national service, and they learn how to be disciplined in their daily procedures, their daily routine, their daily assignments.
That would be, well, have there been studies? I'm sure there must have been, of folks that went into the military out of high school, and then when they come back out, so they've had the adjustment going in, they have the adjustment coming back, how well the adjustment is, and if they learn skill sets with that, or if some of them just dig their heels in, and that's kind of an indicator that it's not going to go that well.
Yeah. Well, during the war, when they had the draft, of course, there was a purpose, and the purpose was to win the war. But if you have national service, the purpose is to provide the nation with your skills and your to-be-learned discipline, which isn't always popular. That's part of the don't tell me what to do. You were talking before about helping people separate emotion from intellect. And a lot of don't tell me what to do is based upon don't tell me what to do. I can figure it out myself. Well, based on what model?
Yeah.
If they've grown up entitled, that's not a model that is stable. It'll break down.
Yeah, yeah. My immediate response would be prove it.
Yeah.
Prove to me how you're able to handle it. Yeah. As it's,
which they will do in the military.
Well, and that's the amazing thing. Military, and again, we can go back to some of the other disciplines that are out there, how quickly some people are able to adapt to it. I mean, it just is stunning how some folks, and that just, it's kind of like they found their niche and off to the races they go and happy, happy days.
Right. Well, everybody requires some sort of structure. And if it doesn't come externally, it'll come internally, part of which is what the sense of entitlement is about. You owe me.
Huh. So they're just, maybe that's how they were brought up, or is there a genetic element to this thing also?
No, I don't think it's genetic. I think it's how they're brought up. Nothing much has been required of them that requires discipline.
Well, I was thinking the inverse of that, not those with the entitlement. I mean, that's almost ubiquitous, but those that are able to adapt or adopt the new standards quickly, readily, and apparently without a lot of whining, sorrow, pity, whatever word that might be most effective.
Let's go suck it up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that. There are those that do it extraordinarily well, and others that don't. Getting back to some of the baseball players and sport athletes that are, been in with this team, want to be there for the career, been there for 15 years, and they get traded.
Yeah.
You know, how do you not feel like you just got trashed? Some of these guys are able to do that.
Getting traded in the baseball leagues is part of the game. And anybody who's working hard to get into the major baseball leagues knows that going in. They are informed. They know that going in. And they're going to be playing with other people who have already been traded into their league, their game, their association. So asking them how they dealt with it, that's important.
Yeah.
And then ask their wives, too.
Right, the whole family unit, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the kids for kids, too, because I would suspect that, you know, while they say that they're more malleable, I'm not totally convinced that that always is the case.
Yeah, you're sitting around a barbecue with a couple of families, two or three or four families, who have been traded and some who have not been traded. It certainly is a subject for discussion.
Yeah, yeah, and just helps you. And maybe the knowledge isn't needed, maybe it is. But either way, thanks for sharing your knowledge.
Sure thing.
All righty, bud. Enjoy your weekend.
Okay, bye.
All righty. Thanks, Lou. See everybody on Monday.